Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Behind the Binge podcast. It's your host, Marissa. And today I want to talk to you about how to avoid binging when you're home alone. If you feel like you're more prone to binge when you're home alone, you are definitely not alone in that. So today I'm going to be sharing why you might feel more prone to binge when you're home alone and what to do about that. So let's just get right into it.
Welcome to Behind the Binge, the podcast where we bring forth much-needed conversations about binge eating recovery and ditching diet culture. I'm your host, Marissa Kaimilik, a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and binge eating coach. This is our space to dive into practical tips to heal from binge eating, challenge your diet culture beliefs, discuss the nuances of intuitive eating, and empower you to recover. Let's start exploring what's behind the binge.
Some of you listening might feel you're more prone to binge when you're home alone, and many of us have been there. Our roommate or partners going out of town for the weekend, leaving us alone in the house. But instead of using that alone time to craft, watch that new Netflix series, or dance around like nobody's watching, we get this overwhelming urge to binge. And so we do. We feel safe knowing that nobody is watching. This can be a relief, as we don't have to worry about what someone else might think if we're consuming large amounts of food. Especially if you're someone who feels uncomfortable eating in front of others or have negative feelings about certain foods that would lead you to only want to eat them in secret. And binge eating primarily happens in private, so when you're home alone, you're really set up in this perfect environment to binge. There's no one there to judge you, help comfort you, or to distract you. And on top of that, binging can be such a shameful act, and shame is isolating. But shame cannot exist when out in the open. Shame cannot exist when it's spoken. Because when we speak our shame, it gives us context and understanding. We often hear back that we're actually not alone. So here we are talking about it, to remove some of that shame so that you can realize you're not alone, you're not the only one, and we can get through this together. In the book, I Thought It Was Just Me, But It Isn't, by Brené Brown, she says, shame works like the zoom lens on a camera. When we're feeling shame, the camera is zoomed in tight and all we see is our flawed selves, alone and struggling. When we zoom out, we see a completely different picture. We see many people in the same struggle. Rather than thinking, I'm the only one, we start thinking, I can't believe it. You too? I'm normal? I thought it was just me. Once we start to see the bigger picture, we're better able to reality check our shame triggers and the social community expectations that fuel shame. So, to start, I want to tell you that it makes sense that you would binge when you're home alone. So you're not broken. We just need to get curious as to what is the driving factor behind this for you so that you can work to break the cycle. Starting with this idea that it's safer to binge when you're home alone, I want you to answer these three questions for me. One, do you compare what you're eating to others around you? Two, do you worry what others might be thinking about what you're eating? And three, do you have rules around what you should or shouldn't eat? If you answered yes to any of those questions, you're likely experiencing a scarcity mindset with food that doesn't allow you to eat without guilt or judgment most of the time. You're questioning everything you put in your mouth, if it's okay to eat that without guilt, and furthermore, if it's okay to eat without yourself or others judging you. This is exhausting. So it makes sense that when you're free from what other people are eating, not eating, or thinking about your food choices, you would just let your guard down and just freaking freely eat like you deserve to all of the time. So to combat this, we have to strengthen that trust with your own body and your own choices. Begin challenging the belief that you should be eating the same way someone else is eating, and the belief that they would somehow know what you should or should not be eating better than yourself. You know your body better than anyone else. If you need more food than what someone else is eating to feel satisfied, trust that. You can listen to your body. And if you feel like you can't, you can learn to listen to your body. And that starts with practicing turning inward instead of outward to decide what, when, or how to eat. Furthermore, break this idea that there are some foods that are morally better or worse than others. I am no better or worse of a person because I enjoy some Oreos almost every day, and neither are you if you enjoy some ice cream or fruit snacks every day. If someone were to judge you for eating those foods around them, that's their own problem. but you can eat fun foods, listen to your body, and move on. Get familiar with challenging those shoulds and shouldn'ts on a daily basis. When you think, I shouldn't have chips with my dinner, challenge that thought. Has avoiding fun foods like chips with my meals ever worked for me long term before? From there, you can reframe that initial thought into something like, I can enjoy chips when I want them, listen to my body, and move on. The more and more you challenge these food rules, the more permission will open up for you to eat them at any time, making them less novel so that they don't have so much power over you when you're home alone. Challenging these diet beliefs, food rules, and the all-or-nothing mentality is something I go into extensively in my Jumpstart to Binge Freedom course. I really recommend this course to anyone starting their journey to break up with dieting and build back body trust so they can stop binge eating for good. If you want more information on the course, I'll link it in the show notes, or you can head to the website behindthebinge.com. Moving on, now what about when being alone leads you to feel lonely or another difficult emotion? Emotional eating can definitely play a role in our tendencies to binge eat when we're alone. Food can provide comfort, distraction, or even numbing in these instances. If you think emotional eating is a common reason why you binge when you're alone, I want you to first do some reflection on what feelings generally come up. What do you feel when you're alone? Get specific. Once you've identified what you're feeling, what are you needing? What role is the food usually playing? So let's say you identify that you are needing a sense of connection, more specifically, support in those moments. Does food actually provide that for you in those moments? Probably not, but you've never identified that before, so now you know that although food feels like it might meet some sort of emotional need in those moments, you're really needing support so you can seek something that will actually support you in those moments. So let's brainstorm what that might be. Maybe when you're home alone next time, you have a friend over to catch up on a show together or do a self-care night together. If this isn't an option for you, maybe plan a Zoom night with an old friend that lives across the country or schedule a time to play a game online with someone. Being with someone or talking with someone when we're feeling alone might help to mitigate the shame that we're feeling. Connecting with others, especially those who get it or can provide us the empathy and support we need, helps to build shame resilience. So plan this in advance, knowing exactly what you're going to do to meet those emotional needs before it even arises next time will help to eliminate any overwhelm in the moment of loneliness when you're trying to figure out what to do instead of a binge. Plan ahead and take informed action. After you try this something new when you're alone next time, take some time to reflect on how it went. Did it meet your need? How did it feel to try something new? Would you do anything different next time? This can help to either reinforce anything that went well or get curious as to what didn't go well so you can learn more for next time. A quick note on emotional eating. If you are not eating enough or feeling restricted from fun foods, no amount of girls' nights, face masks, or meditations will help. Your primal need for enough food and enough safety and security with food will inevitably kick in. The need for food and permission to eat has to be there first and foremost. Okay, lastly, what eating patterns do you notice when you're home alone? Do you still eat regular meals, or do you find that your routine gets thrown off? Eating as regular as possible is key to overcoming binge eating, whether you're alone or not. So try to continue eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner as usual. Even having planned meals and snacks can help from overthinking your choices or getting pulled into a binge after going too long without eating. Bonus points if these meals and snacks include fun foods you'd maybe usually binge on. Again, let's use Oreos as an example here. If you'd normally binge on Oreos when you're home alone, but instead you plan to have some Oreos normally with your lunch, you are normalizing that you can have the Oreos anytime, not just when you binge, and they're not going anywhere. You're breaking that scarcity mindset with the Oreos, and over time, they will begin to feel just as normal as any other food. Okay, maybe not as normal as any other food because they're definitely tastier than like steamed broccoli or something, but they will lose that novelty that makes them feel all or nothing or now or never. Okay, so the key takeaways I want you to leave this episode with are: 1, you are not broken. It makes sense that you would binge when you're alone. 2, practice eating with unconditional permission both when you are and are not alone to break the scarcity mindset from food rules or comparison. 3, deepen your understanding of your feelings and needs. Get curious to what common feelings come up when you're home alone and how you can meet your emotional needs without a binge. And 4, continue normal eating patterns to reinstill trust with your body. Overcoming binge eating is not one and done. Meaning, if you implement what we talked about in today's episode and you still binge, that's okay and honestly expected. It's about cultivating the compassion and empathy for yourself to rinse and repeat and learn along the way. You will find binge freedom. Say it with me. I will find binge freedom. I will find food freedom. You'll see it when you believe it. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you did, please, please, please take a minute to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us to reach more people and grow our audience and make this a trusted source for those who need support on their journey to overcome binge eating. And as always, if you're needing more support, you can learn more about what services we have going on for you at the moment through our Instagrams, Binge Nutritionist, or Behind the Binge, or head over to behindthebinge.com. Right now, both myself and my associate, RD Morgan, have openings for private coaching. So if you're looking for individual support, we would love to work with you. All right, that's everything. Catch you in the next episode. Bye, everyone.